good morning on the day of the Sadguru. We were asked a question a couple of weeks ago about the difference between the role of the soul and the part. And my understanding from Baba's Murali and my own experience is that the part that is recorded in the soul is of 84 births. And that's a huge, 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 huge part. Just imagine 84 births, 5,000 years. And in the space of even 1 week, so much happens that if you try and think what happened last week, you can't remember. So multiply, 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 and you just imagine how much is recorded in this tiny point of light. And then the role. And the role is the things that is external and playing different roles. Each one of you has a particular role at home. Then you have a different role when you're with your friends. Then you have a different role when if you went to satsang, it was a different role. When you went to work, if you went to work, it was a different role. And even at home, how many different roles you play. A mother and wife and friend and babysitter and carer, mother-in-law, was grandmother. Many, many, many different roles. And so that's the external side. And what's happening at the present moment is that it's the only time in the whole kalpa that we're actually aware that we recognize all of these things. And what we now have to do is, in a very conscious way, we have to awaken the memory. And the awakening of the memory happens in so many different ways. And I was just thinking that from the moment we come to Baba, that's the story, awakening the memory. And by the time we become karmatit, then the memory is fully awakened. And so when in the final chapter of the Gita, Arjuna finally says, yes, now my memory has returned. Smriti labdha, my awareness is fully awake. It's now awoken. And so a question that crossed my mind, what are the different things that Baba is evoking and invoking from within our own memory at this moment? And so one of the very first things that Baba evokes within us is this awareness that we've totally forgotten, that I am a soul. We heard the word soul before we came to Baba. We heard Atma, we heard Paramatma, but Atma, Paramatma became mixed. And Atma is it immune to action, or is it that we carry the karmic account of our actions? Confusion, confusion, and no one to explain. And the beautiful thing that Baba now has explained, a lot of detail about the soul, so much that even if someone doesn't come to this point of recognizing God, even maybe that's taking a little bit longer, but even just the awakening of the soul that I am separate to this body, and because I am separate, I can now be in charge of this body. But also, not just that I'm in charge of this body, but I, the soul, am in charge of all the faculties I have within myself. I'm in charge of my awareness, I'm in charge of my attitude, I'm in charge of my feelings, I'm in charge of my memories, I'm in charge of my sanskars. And so I can't say, well, I made a mistake, but that's my nature, that's my sanskar, because Baba's now awoken the memory and reminded me that I have to now take charge of my mind and my sanskars and everything else. So that first memory of awakening brings a huge amount of joy. Why? Because Baba tells us that once you realize you're a soul, you instantly begin to experience peace. And before knowing I'm a soul, I went looking for peace here and there and everywhere, but I didn't find it. Or if I found it, it was temporary. But now, something is going on outside, and I can just remind myself, I am a peaceful soul. Om Shanti. Nadi said at one point that she reminds herself to be Om Shanti at least 100 times a day. So how many times a day do you remember Om Shanti? And when you've got children and grandchildren and all the other things that go on in a family, then you need to remember Om Shanti. And so keep reminding yourself of Om Shanti. And so that memory of who I am isn't theory, but that memory of coming back to that feeling of peace inside yourself is the way to be able to survive and thrive, especially in the chaos of today's world. And we keep thinking that things are settling, and then suddenly there's a spike in the numbers, and again there's a whole raft of new instructions. So here we have Maureen making new instructions, giving them new instructions at least twice a week at the moment. She'll say, okay, this is what we're going to do, and I think this is in line with the government guidelines, and a few days later there'll be more. So just yesterday there were more new guidelines. So especially when you keep hearing this thing, that thing, and the other thing, I am peace. Just come back to your peaceful inner state of being so that nothing outside can trouble you. So peace, that's the memory that has now returned. And the next memory that returns is of my relationship with Baba. And we loved God, we remembered God, but we didn't know who He was, and we didn't have an address for Him or a telephone number for Him. And now we have all the information we need. And not only do we have an address and telephone number, I mean, that you need as a starter. But once you know where your friend lives, or anyone else, you just drive there. You don't have to keep looking in your dictionary for where is this person located, or directory, or anything. And even with the telephone number, it becomes shorter and shorter and shorter. Your favorite numbers are just one click away. And so now, you don't have to remember 001 da 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 da. Just press the button, this one, and instantly you can feel the connection with Baba. And it's an eternal relationship we've had with Baba. With anyone else, it's been a karmic relationship that lasts maybe for one birth. Maybe sometimes where you can see it's a very deep attachment. And what happens when friends get attached to each other? I've noticed that they love each other, but also they quarrel with each other. And so they get so familiar with each other that one minute they're quarreling, the next minute they're saying, oh, sorry, I didn't mean it. But even if it's a very deep, intense relationship, it's no one with whom you've had a relationship that's close forever and ever and ever. It just doesn't happen. But the relationship with Baba, that's been, even though we didn't remember Him in the golden and silver age, yet it must have been there in the back of our awareness somewhere. So there's someone up above that we have to be grateful for. But certainly, as soon as sorrow begins, our memory of God comes alive in a very powerful way, that why I'm distressed and unhappy is because I don't know who my parent is. But also, I don't need to be distressed and unhappy. If I can connect with my parent, my troubles will be resolved. And it's beautiful that even though we don't actually know him in bhakti, Baba still responds to us. You know, here in a lokic level, if you don't know someone properly and you don't address them properly, they get quite upset with you. Don't you know who I am? Don't you know how you should speak to me? And Baba, such humility, such love, that Baba says, never mind, the children didn't understand. They forgot, but they didn't understand. But he continued to give us the reward for all the bhakti we did, whichever path I belonged to, whether it's Christian, Judaism, Islam, Sikhism, Hinduism, and whichever deity you had in mind, even someone who's unreal like Ganesh and Hanuman, you still got the return if you did that bhakti with love and devotion, with bhavna. That's the interesting thing. And I was just reflecting on that and thinking that if you do anything with the right feeling, the right bhavna, the results are always going to come. And within that is the mechanism of keeping faith alive. Even now at the end of the cycle, when so many bad things are happening, there'll be some people who say, well, how can there be God if such bad things are allowed to carry on? And you can tell them, well, it's Kali Yuga, it wasn't like that in Satyuga, but they don't necessarily believe you. But some people have their faith shattered when something unpleasant happens to them in their life. A son dies, a child dies, and faith in God is completely broken. A husband dies. So someone who you've depended on or you're very attached to a lot. I've seen that happen in a number of cases. Their faith disappears because their assumption that God is expected to look after them and their loved ones is such a big assumption. They forget about karma, they don't know about karma at that moment, they don't know about drama, and so it's blame, and God gets blamed the most. So even though we've done that, then we do a little bit of bhakti, or we stop doing bhakti, but God sees, God hears. I read something interesting the other day. When we're praising God and praying to God, be sure God is hearing me. And when I'm gossiping about someone, I forget God is hearing me. When I see something beautiful and I appreciate it, then I say, nature is beautiful, God the Creator is amazing. And he's watching and he's seeing. And then when I notice somebody's defects and I start commenting and criticizing, I forget that God is seeing me now also. So it's very interesting how we remember and we forget, we remember and we forget. And so this game of remembering and forgetting goes on in bhakti. So a question for myself now, is it still the game of remembering and forgetting, remembering and forgetting? Because the last several Muralis for the last month, I think, not even a few weeks, but a month, they focus so much on remembrance, 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 remembrance. Keep a chart of remembrance, keep a chart of your activity. Not that you're going to give it to somebody, but so that you can keep track of what you are doing yourself. And of course, the biggest teacher for the self is me. God tries to be my teacher, but sometimes I don't even accept that. I say, well, you know, Baba was talking at a different time. That was in the 60s. The world was very different then. So what does Baba know about the situation today? You know, we give all these excuses and things to say, okay, don't involve God. And yet, of course, when we come to Baba, then we realize that we forgot him, but he never forgot us. And so it was a very sweet Murali the other day that Baba said, I become concerned that my children are suffering. And so he doesn't sit and brood over it and say, oh, I'm worried about my kids, I'm worried about my kids. But the thought comes, my children are suffering. And that thought brings them away from Paramdham and brings them right here into his chariot. And it takes even the chariot a little while to understand what's going on. For other people to understand, it was number wise according to effort. But even for Brahma Baba to understand what's going on, it took at least a few months. And so the time that he spent in Karachi, that was a time of exploring. And it was a time of awakening. The memory was returning that this is the one who I've been worshipping and he's now here. And the one I'd also been worshipping is actually me. And God's now asking me to become that once again. And so once we connect with Baba, not only is there the reminder of my relationship, which is an eternal one with God, but I also remember my own story. Baba comes with a family. Bhakti, they say that when God came, he didn't come alone. He came with a family. And so as soon as you recognize Baba, you discover you've got a very big family. And not just here, but literally across the world. In Madhuban, you can feel the huge numbers and you know it's a very big family. And so I remember my family. I remember these are the souls I've been with through the cycle. Baba stayed up above. But these souls I've been with through the whole cycle. And so when I'm interacting with them, how do I see them? Am I seeing them as my eternal companions through the cycle? Am I seeing them as the souls who were the deities who now have forgotten themselves? But Baba has told me, these are those same souls who are going to become the deities. Do I believe it? Well, first do I believe it for myself, that I, the soul, am becoming a deity. When I remember who I am, and I come to that awareness of I, the soul, am a deity, then I can start remembering that these souls who are my companions now also belong to the same family, the same clan, the same religion, the same home, the same planet. So there's more that unites us than actually divides us. And so what is it that divides us? Two things. Manmat, our ideas, our thoughts. And secondly, sanskars. Sanskars. And so, when I say this is my idea, what am I doing? I'm definitely arrogant about it, and I think my idea must be the right one. And instead of asking the question, well, what does Baba say? What does Baba think? If we're just looking at each other, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? Then there'll be as many opinions as there are people in the room. And sometimes a few more. Because sometimes people fluctuate. One moment they're saying this, another moment they're saying that. But the more I hold on to that memory of who I am, Ham So Soham. Baba used to use this mantra a lot, but now I don't see it coming in the Murali so often. But it's even before the rest of the cycle to know just my own role, that I am part of that deity family. And so then of course there's the next question. If in my heart I know that I belong here, who feels that? That they belong here? You don't need to take off your masks to give me an answer. Not seeing everyone. There are still some sisters who are a bit reluctant. So ask yourself the question, why? Why the reluctance? Because I know that all of you do feel that you belong here. This is why, even with COVID still going strong, getting stronger, you still decided to come here, because you feel you belong and you'll be safe in Baba's house. And of course all the external things are put in place anyway. But still, there are many temples and mosques and places of worship that haven't opened. We're lucky we have the space, so we can follow the guidelines and know that it's okay. I was thanking Daddy for that this morning. She looked after us. I don't mean me. She looked after all of us so well, that it was her tyag and tapasya that first gave us this house. And for me, I was asked that question the other day. Why do I think that GRC has to be completed? I said it was like when we were planning for Global House. I just knew Baba's children needed a home, because there was Baba Bhavan. Then in the mornings we were bringing Daddy. I mean, she was in her 70s and 80s even then. But every morning she'd be ready by 6:20 and we'd be out of the door and she'd be commuting to work. We'd come to Dudden Hill. And so that carried on for 9 years. And in the evening, we didn't have a place, because you have to book ahead, and then there'd always be sudden things that were happening. And so then we'd have to restrict numbers coming to Baba Bhavan to 20. So COVID is not a new restriction. We've had restrictions before now. And the interesting thing is that, and every Sunday, we didn't know where we would be until about Wednesday, because it was so difficult for people to open up on Sunday morning. And here, where we had the keys, was too small for Sunday morning. So morning class was fine. Thursdays was a squash. Sunday it was impossible. But because Baba's children were wandering from here to there, picking up their carpets, I knew Baba had to have a house for his children. So there was no question in my mind. Somehow, however, this house is going to be ready. And then for Diamond House, I just never had that same feeling. Yes, it's nice to have all the extra facilities, but it was like addition. It was good. The only place that Daddy really felt needed space was the kitchen, because she'd go down into the kitchen, and to try and cook for 500 in that little kitchen, it's no more than a normal domestic kitchen, that little kitchen. And can you imagine cooking for 500? Every Sunday we were cooking for 500 bhog. So, GRC again, I had the same feeling. There isn't another place like it in the world. And so Baba has to get it ready. And Daddy Gulzar wasn't taking messages to Baba, but at the time that we'd asked her, she said yes. So, and I know that her connection with Baba was so close that even without trance, like today, people say to me, well, what's your relationship with Daddy like now? I say, it's still very close, in the sense that anything that happens, I ask myself the question, what would Daddy have said? What would Daddy have done? And after years and years, it's automatic. You know what she would have said. You know what she would have done. And so, same thing that, you know, when Daddy Gulzar, you ask her a question, now she's totally silent, but this is like 5 years ago. And even if she didn't actually go into trance at that time, she knew what Baba would say, and so she would give you that response. So it wasn't like she was using her intellect, but she just knew, and so she would share that. So that sense of belonging, it's a memory that's there within the soul, and you feel comfortable here. And I don't mean physically comfortable, I mean emotionally, spiritually comfortable. And so that's a very, very important memory to emerge. You've heard that story that I relate about Again, it's by chance that it was our story. She was the one who would share this with us a few times. And she said that in the early days, of course, Baba was with them all the time. So if Mama wasn't able to deal with something, she would pass it on to Baba. Whatever she could deal with was a lot. But when things got stuck, she would refer to Baba. And so this one individual, and Mama couldn't shift her, so then to Baba. And she said that, Baba, I love Baba, but the family is so difficult, all these different sanskars. And even though in those days they were just from one community, basically, but still, sanskars are sanskars. And Baba said to her, well, that's fine. You can just sit in yoga. You don't have to interact with the family. Just sit in yoga and you can become pure. But then remember that you can be with Baba up there for as long as you want. But if you want to come in Satyug, you have to learn to interact with the family. Because this is the family you'll be with in Satyug. And so that was a shock for her. She hadn't taken it that far that if I don't know how to live with all these different sanskars today, how can I be part of Satyug? So that's the story there. Whatever the sanskars, I know it's my family and I belong. But also, I know that I wouldn't be comfortable being part of the tree of Islam or the tree of Buddhism or the tree of Christianity. I wouldn't want to be part of those branches. This is a branch I want to be part of. This is the trunk. This is the foundation and my connections are all here. And so follow that idea through. And so not only is it that there's a memory of the family, there's also the memory that I was a deity soul. And if a Lokic person were to hear this, they'd say, well, that's arrogance. But not really. It's very humbling to know that Baba has given me this reminder. And it's not a reminder of ego, it's a reminder for effort. And so what are those deity sanskars? What is the way in which deities will relate to each other? How do the deities walk? How do the deities talk? Just remind yourself, when you're getting irritated with someone or something, and you can feel something coming up in you, bite your tongue and remind yourself that this isn't how a deity would do things. Even the way we eat, you know, I'm going to grab a sandwich and drive, and I'm eating and driving at the same time. And then I'll say I don't have time. Well, 5 minutes, sit down quietly and eat something quietly and you'll digest it properly. But you're on the go and then you're nibbling at something and you're trying to keep your eyes on the road and then you're listening to somebody calling you. It's maybe COVID has come to remind us that it's not a natural way of living that we've been living. It's time to actually slow down and do things properly. Make time for things that are necessary. There's plenty of time in which we sit and just watch a film. What happened? 90 minutes? Where did 90 minutes go? And what could I have been doing in that time of 90 minutes? Plenty of other things that I could have been doing. Let me have value for myself. Let me have value for my time. And if I can do that, I'll value others and value their time also. So when we meet each other, let it be something that's valuable, that's empowering and enriching. So that memory of who I am, that's a recording that's there. It hasn't gone away, it hasn't been erased, even though it was a long time ago. But also, this is now the time to emerge that memory. And if I keep remembering who I am as a child of God, as the one who's made God her companion, as the one who's emerging that deity sanskaras, the deity role, then I begin to experience drama as being very accurate. Where we've forgotten that drama is repeating identically, we react. Shouldn't have happened like this. Why is it happening like this? I think it was last Sunday that in the Murali Baba said these three words, why, what, how. If you're Trikal Darshi, if you can see the three aspects of time, these words get eliminated. And once you've eliminated these three words, you've saved yourself a lot of time and energy. Why? It's an endless question. Okay, somebody gives you an answer for why this happened. But why did that happen? Why did that? Track it back and why? It's like, you know, when your children are sort of like 4 and 5 years old and they've got non-stop questions, non-stop, go, why this? And you used to get, okay, well, how long can I keep answering all these why questions? But that's what we're doing. You forget that we used to get irritated with kids, but now I'm getting irritated with myself and there's nobody to calm me down except me. And so let me eliminate these words from my dictionary and let me emerge that memory more and more, that whatever is happening for a good reason. At this moment, I don't know why. And at this moment, I don't know how it's going to unfold. But in a little while, it will become clear. And I will be able to say, yes, drama was beneficial. Drama was benevolent. Hansa, I was on the phone to Hansa the other day, and she was telling me that in India, of course, COVID cases are really flying high. And even Shantivan now, again, it's very strict lockdown. Nobody coming in, nobody going out. And so she said, I was looking out of the window and I was seeing that the whole of Shantivan is completely quiet. Nobody coming in from outside, but even minimum movement inside. And so everybody's just getting on with what they need to do, whether they've got work. Some departments have a lot of work, like the kitchen department, like the Murali department, that carries on anyway. But some departments, like the literature department, who's going to come to buy books? Nobody. So even while I was there, the whole place was quiet. But now she's saying that it's very, very quiet. And I'm thinking that Daddy would not have appreciated this scene. And so it's very good that Daddy flew away when she did. Because Daddy loved being with people, communicating with people, just, you know, enjoying all of that. And so when Hansa would tell her it's time for rest, she'd say, no, I want to meet so-and-so, I want to meet so-and-so. So at that time when it happened, Hansa wouldn't have told you it's good that Daddy's gone. Today she is saying that Daddy went to the right time. It's really interesting, isn't it? A few months later, and you begin to see the accuracy of drama. And that's a big event that happened, especially for Hansa, who spent 15 years day and night. So, something's happening. Can I emerge immediately the memory that drama is accurate? Baba's preparing us and has been preparing us for our complete stage for a long time. But also, now I'm beginning to see more and more as time is really coming to the final period. How much have I practiced the homework that Baba's been giving me? Like this whole thing about drama. if I'm practicing and really stabilizing myself in these aspects of awareness, then there won't be any trouble for me when things get really frightening and difficult for other people. The other day Baba said, it was in the Sakar Murali, that now this is your time to practice soul consciousness. Later on, you will want to make that effort for soul consciousness, but you won't be able to stabilize your mind. Anyone remember that sentence in the Murali? It was a very strong sentence. I mean, the words are simple, but it really hit me hard. That if I'm not practicing these things today, what will I be like in the future? At that moment, there's so much chaos that's going to distract me. I won't have time to practice now, especially while things are pretty quiet again. They're more quiet than they were last week again now. So this is the time to practice. And the more deeply I practice these things, the stronger I am to face whatever is to come, really. And so whether it's a practice of soul consciousness, the practice of keeping Baba as my companion, so that I feel that canopy of protection around me, and then also the practice of these three dots, soul and God and Rama, full stop. How quickly can I say, full stop, Rama? I don't need to spend time why, what, how. Because I know Baba already told me all of these things are going to happen. When I used to read this expression, mountains of sorrow are going to fall, I thought it was pretty strong. But now I see how it's almost a reality already. For some people, they don't have money, they don't have a place to live, they don't have food. And I'm talking about 70% of the world already. It's going to become more. It's going to become 80% of the world. So how much more? And some of the stories of COVID are really very, very sad. Some, okay, there's good recovery. But some, unexpected cases and people go fast. And so people haven't had that time of preparation even. So at that time, where will I be? Will I be able to be in that awareness that I have Baba's protection? I'm going to be internally strong and not allow the external sorrows to touch me? Why? Because if I'm unhappy myself, and most of Baba's children are very compassionate, so sometimes you even see a film and you have tears. Or you're reading a story and you have tears. And that's generally true for many sisters. Brothers, I don't think so. But certainly for many sisters. And so when I'm actually seeing those scenes of sorrow, if I'm just going to be unhappy and even cry, well, I haven't done anything to help them. Rather, I brought my stage down, in which now I need somebody else to give me comfort. But if today I can be strong and take power from Baba and keep moving up with that strength and power, then at that moment I'll be seeing the sorrow and I'll have compassion, but I'll have the courage and power and faith to help them. Neither will I be afraid, nor will I be upset. I'll remember, it's time for liberation. All souls are going to be liberated from all their suffering at this moment. And so then, I'll be able to share something with them. Remind them, this is the time to remember God. I always remember the story that Rajni Ben had said when she was in Japan and the earthquake had happened in Kobe. And she said it was early morning, so the sisters were all up in the center. And so They had had meditation, they were preparing something for bhog, but as soon as things started, they went out, and other people came, and of course, they were still in their nightdresses and things. But she said that our role at that time is about three sisters. Our role at that time was to be with Baba and tell them, don't worry, don't cry, don't be afraid, just remember Baba at this moment. And she said that our presence, because in that building that they have, the center in Kobe, it's all Sindhis. It happens like that, doesn't it? One neighbor, two neighbors. And so she said that whole community knew us and had come to classes at some point or another. But then by seeing us calm and stable, they calmed down. So that was a little rehearsal. But wherever it is you are, not necessarily just people in a white sari, so people know that you've been practicing meditation for a long time. So they see you, they become calm, they remember Baba. They feel connected with God. And at that final moment, for me to be in God's remembrance, I have to keep awakening that memory now. Again and again, connect with Baba. Again and again, connect with Baba. So that nothing surprises me and my thoughts don't go off there. Why, how, if, but, where. No, just Baba. And it's going to be okay. Whatever it is that turns out, the body may survive, the body may not survive, it's okay. But where are my thoughts? There's a brother who's coming to the end of his life. You might not remember him, but you'll remember the story. Sigrun and Thor from Iceland. She's a painter and he's a sculptor. And Sigrun had painted, you know, all these, the Mandela type Shiv Babas. Not this one, but we usually put them up in that shape. So I think every center outside India in the whole world has some pictures done by Sigrun. And Thor Moore was sculptor, so he did big things. So Oxford Garden has a couple of things he had done. She left 2.5 years ago, and he was then unwell and diagnosed with a slow-growing cancer. And apparently it had been there for a whole year. So it was very slow, and there were no symptoms. And it was like, if he'd known before, he wouldn't have had the time and energy to care for her in the way that he did. But she left, and then he had time to sort himself out. And yesterday, he was on the Zoom with us, because to go to Iceland means 5 days quarantine, and if you're tested positive, another 10 days. So to go for 1 day to Iceland, it's going to cost you 7 days, and even that might be longer. So they said, no, don't try and come. If it were normal circumstances and you're offering to come, great, but not in this period. But you don't know how much longer. So it's days, it's not weeks anymore. So he was saying, I'm saying to Baba, if you've got more work for me to do here, I'm ready. If you want me to come, I'm ready. And you could see his face is really shriveled. He's not, I was surprised seeing him. But his state of mind was so clear, so powerful. And so he said, I'm ready. I'm ready for whatever. And so am I ready. I remember 1 year, Avyakt Bhav Dada had said to Daddy Prakash, well, the whole gathering, this was in the days of the meditation hall, but Daddy Prakash, when he was sitting right in front. So this would have been before 83. So 81, 82, then 83, we always met Baba in the big hall, Om Shanti Bhavan. So that time, Baba looked at the gathering, about 250 fit into the meditation hall on top of the stairs in Pandit Bhavan. And so Baba looked at us and said, if Baba were to say to you, come now, ready to go home. Chalo, would you say yes? And Dadi Kumarka immediately put up her hands, and the other daddies too. Nobody else did. And Baba then looked at the daddies, looked at Daddy Prakash Muni, and then said, you're ready, but what about your family? It seems that they're not ready, so you have to get them ready too. So at this moment, how many years ago was I, 30 plus? But at this moment now, am I ready? And if I'm not, there's still a little bit of margin, it's okay. I can take Baba's help and awaken the memory that's stored within me of who I am, who I belong to, and what must I do now, and to know very clearly the future that's ahead. So the part that's recorded within the soul is incredible, and we just have to keep awakening the memory. It's there. Your deity sanskars are there. Awaken them now. Let's have a moment of meditation and then Baba's talk.
Roshni de di nai zindagi.